Praise God. I want to continue the talk we had last week. Last week we talked about maintenance. So this week, maintenance two. Dun, dun, dun. As we talked about maintenance, as we went through it, we talked about some steps for maintenance were to clean, inspect, repair, and adjust, and lubricate, and also reschedule. But as I was thinking about it this week, I realized that it's one thing to say, I'm going to inspect something, but if you don't know what you're looking for, you can look at it all day long. Hey, yeah, it looks good to me. I don't know what, you know. I'm not a mechanic by any stretch of the imagination. So when I pop the hood on a car because I've got an issue, I'm looking for a loose wire or something really, 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 really obviously wrong. Because if it's not really, 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 really obvious, I'm not going to see it. I won't know what I'm looking at. So I got to thinking, what is it that we need to know? What is it we need to look at as we're talking about maintenance? Look at in our lives. How is it that we're what is it that we're actually inspecting for? So, in the book In His Steps by Sidney Sheldon, he introduced us to the concept of thinking about our decisions, thinking about our actions, thinking about our life in view of what would Jesus do. And remember, there was a time where everybody had the WWJD bracelets or necklaces and bumper stickers on their car and all that kind of stuff. What would Jesus do? And I submit to you that Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. Andrew did not. Andrew does not. And until a sovereign move of God that is just going to shock everybody, Andrew will not. Okay? But how else can we do it? We have this standard that's way up here that we are nowhere near, or at least I am nowhere near getting close to. But if I'm inspecting, that means I'm always falling short. When you're always falling short, you have a tendency, when you're always falling short, to give up trying. So what can we do? I got to thinking about Abigail. Abigail's a pretty amazing woman. We're gonna read about her in 1 Samuel 25. We're gonna read some verses here, then we're gonna go someplace else. And I just want to think about Abigail as an example. Abigail is somebody that we can look at and try to compare. As we're looking at our lives, how does our life stack up to somebody else? Not that somebody else is our measure, or if somebody else is our standard. Our standard is Jesus. But how does our life look in what we can do? How does our life look in how we should conduct ourselves? So 1 Samuel 25, verses 2 and 3 says, "Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. And the name of that man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance. But the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb." Doesn't sound like a pleasant guy. Doesn't sound like a great marriage. Here you have a wise, beautiful woman whose husband is a jerk. There on the back row, you have this wise, beautiful woman who's... No. I try real hard not to be a jerk, but... Continuing on, verse 4 says, "When David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 young men and said to the young men, 'Go up to Carmel, go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, peace be to you and peace to your house and peace to all that you have. Now I have heard you have shearers. Your shepherds were with us and we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, and we will come on feast, for we will come on a feast day. Please give whatever comes to your hand to your servants and to your son David.'" So David said, "Hey, We were in the woods. We were there in the fields. We protected your men. Nothing was missing from them. We didn't take anything from them, and nobody else took anything from them. We protected them. We guided them over. And, you know, just ask, you know, modern vernacular, or at least in the modern vernacular when I was younger, how about hooking a brother up? You know, we helped you out. How about helping us out? Nabal didn't think that was a good idea. Who is Jesse? Who is David? Who is this son of Jesse? What have I to do with him? Right? He just sent the young men away. Get out of here, kid. You bother me. That real New English translation. Sent them away. Wouldn't take care of them. David got mad for some reason. David was very angry. But let's drop down to verse 14. Down in verse 14, now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when we were in the fields. They were a wall to us both day and night, and all the time we were there with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel that no one can speak to him." Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, and 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to her servants, "Go on before me. See, I am coming after you." And she did not tell her husband Nabal. Abigail realized there was trouble brewing because once again her husband had been acting according to his nature. And she looked out for the things of her household. She looked out for those people under her care. She took care of them and she said, "We need to go make this right." And she packed up a good feast. She packed up some provisions. 200 of this, 100 of that. You know, she loaded up a couple of donkeys and said, "We need to make this right." And she sent the servants on ahead. And then she followed after them in verse 23. Now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed down to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, "On me, my Lord, on me let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. Please let not my Lord regard the scoundrel Nabal, for as his name is, so is he." Nabal, by the way, is worthless. How'd you like to be named worthless? Nabal is his name and folly is with him. "But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek harm for my Lord be as Nabal. And now this present which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days." Stop right there. There's much more. There's quite a bit more in that chapter. David blesses the Lord that Abigail had came to stop him. Abigail went back home. Nabal's in the middle of throwing a big party, so she didn't tell him anything. She waited till the next day when he's sober. Next day when the party is left. And she says, she tells him what she did and said that David had been gathering up the people to come and would have wiped out this house had I not done this. And scripture says Nabal's heart died within him. And I think it was 7 days later, he was dead. realized what could have happened. So it was after that that David came and took Abigail to, as his wife. But think about this. Here you have this woman who's wise and beautiful and looking after her family, trying to take care of the things going on of her household. She's has good reputation with her family. She has good reputation with her servants. Everybody knows her. They look up to her. The servants came to her and said, "Your husband really put us in danger." And she knew what to do. And when she went to David, she said, "My fault. Don't blame anybody else. Let it be on me." And she said, "And thank God that God stopped you from shedding blood. God made the provision." She recognized even her wisdom and even her understanding of what to do in this situation was a blessing from God. And she went. And David said, the New King James said that David said, "Had you not come, by tomorrow, every male in your household would have been dead." David was mad. And David was unrestrained until Abigail went and said, "Wait, my Lord, let it be on me. Don't blame the household because of him. God's going to take care of this." I'm thinking about, we're talking about maintenance, we're talking about inspecting and examining ourselves, and we're looking at just one example in Scripture of somebody who was wise. One example in Scripture, somebody who took accountability for the things of their household, who went out of their way to set things right. And that brings us to Proverbs 31. Everybody's always familiar with Proverbs 31. I know sometimes when you start going through Proverbs 31:10, some women feel like they're being picked on. But let me tell you something. I would be blessed and honored to have this testimony. Who can find a virtuous wife? Who can find a virtuous person? Who can find a virtuous individual? Yes, it's written as to a virtuous wife. "For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life." Stop right there for just a minute. Do we have this testimony in our lives? It's kind of like when you go through 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, and you put your name in it there, where it says love is faithful, love is kind, love bears no record of wrongs, and you put your own name in instead of love. Andrew is faithful, Andrew is kind. And wait a minute. I declare those things that are not as though they be, but I want them to be in my life. So the same thing in Proverbs 31, putting your own name in there. Who can find a virtuous Andrew? His worth is far above rubies. The heart of his wife safely trusts in him. You know? Putting our own self in there. Remember, we are all called to be, we are all the bride of Christ. And also, in the parables, we talk about the five wise and five foolish virgins. And we're told to be like the wise ones. Verse 13. "She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands." My bride makes purses and she sews stuff. She doesn't just make purses. She's branching out. But she does a lot of crafty things. Worthy of praise. As we're examining ourselves, not only look at how we stack up against Scripture, but also look to the people around us that we can lift them up and encourage them. Part of that inspect. We have to clean, inspect, repair, and adjust. Lubricate, reschedule. That inspect is knowing what it is that we're looking at. Verse 14, she is like the merchant ships. She provides, she brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. Are we taking care of those within our own house? Are we taking care of those around us? Remember back to Abigail. Abigail got word from the servants that there was a problem, and she went and did everything in her power, everything that the wisdom of the Lord gave her, to go and make it right, to go and set things. And she didn't go to David and said, you know, leave the rest of us alone, just go get him. She said, no, it's on me. Lord, forgive me. Taking that responsibility. Verse 16, she considers the field and buys it, and from her profits she plants the vineyard. Are we diligent in our business? Do we pay it? Do we look at the things around us and evaluate and think things through? She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. Are we paying attention to the things that come up? Are we paying attention to the things in our lives? Are we examining? Are we looking at things? Are we looking at a standard to compare things to compare our life to compare our attitude to? You know, I mentioned Sidney Sheldon in the book In His Steps, thinking, what would Jesus do? What would Abigail do? What would any person who's following after the Lord do? How do we examine the things that come up in our lives? Are we honest enough with ourselves to look at these standards, to look at these examples? To look, like I said, you know, Proverbs 31 says, who can find a virtuous wife? But any of us would be blessed to have this kind of testimony. Verse 19, she stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. Talking about making yarn, making threads to make fabric, you know. Taking the basic elements and making something better out of them. Take, whether it's a craft, whether it's just going with, you know, your basic building blocks. Well, I have a garden and, you know, I make, you know, I can grow a couple of vegetables. Hey, well, this, I can make a soup. I can make, you know, taking what can we do to take what we have and make it better. Verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed in scarlet. What he says is taking care, not worried about the bad weather, because she's taking care to make sure people are clothed, to make sure people are cared for. She makes a tapestry for herself, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of this land, of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Oh, praise the Lord. There's the testimony. Do we only open our mouth in wisdom? Are we known for our kindness? She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised, and give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Proverbs 31 goes and gives a picture of a virtuous wife. It goes and gives a picture of a virtuous person. Now, a lot of these things are agrarian society specific. We go and buy the field and forth the prophets produce the vineyard. has to do with making your own clothing and all of these things, but it comes down to what are we doing to make our households, to make our community, to make our family, to make everyone around us see the blessedness of God working through us, the wisdom of God working through us, the kindness of God working through us, the grace and love and mercy of God working through us. As we go back into maintenance and that inspect part of maintenance, knowing what it is that God would have us to do, looking for examples and looking for opportunities to show God's grace through it. Like I said, we can, if I pop the hood on a car and there's nothing very, very, very obviously wrong, I'm lost. I don't know. And that was before they all got computerized. I mean, that was just back when it was easy, theoretically. But when you can look and know what it is that you're looking for, when you look at your life and line it up against Scripture, how does my life line up against Scripture? Scripture says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Oh Lord, there's an area. Fail in that one. When you look at Scripture and it says, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, that's the one I could, I'm like, there's a word there I'm missing. If there be any virtue or be any praise, think on these things. Lining up our lives according to what Scripture tells us we ought to do. Reading your Bible, it says, husbands, do this. Well, I'm a husband. It says, wives, do this. Well, if you're a wife. But trying to apply the Word of God to our lives so that we can see, based on the Word of God, how we stand, where we are, where we need to change, where we need to seek God. Applying it to our lives. We can inspect our lives all day long, but if we're not inspecting our lives based on what we ought to be looking for or what we know needs to be there, then inspecting does no good. We can never get to the repair or adjust if we don't know what it is that we're shooting for. So part of maintenance is not only being able to clean and to inspect and to adjust, but knowing what we ought to be looking for. So we talked about Abigail and we talked about the virtuous wife, only to illustrate that the Bible tells us who we are and tells us how to walk, tells us how to live. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. It tells us how to do that. You know, you go through the Ten Commandments, you go through those, it tells us how to do those things. It gives us examples of how to love our neighbors as ourselves. Don't lie, don't steal, you know, don't covet, don't do any of that. You know? It tells us what that looks like when we're loving somebody, when we're loving our neighbor as ourselves. But if we're not in the Word, if we're not going in and examining our lives, examining what Scripture says so that we know what it is to be looking for in our own lives, we can adjust all day long. So, what I'm going to do, this is just barely came up. So, I had been at the service center a year. I was a contractor working for the service center, doing desktop maintenance. And we had a system upgrade. And they came in one of the buildings. They put in all new computers, all new printers. They did had these heat transfer printers to make labels. And it was a brand new type. Brand new. We'd never seen them before. This is the very first night of the install. I'm there working all night long getting these things set up. And I'm still working when the day shift comes in, and the senior technician on the day shift, who'd never seen one of these printers before, he comes in, we get a call, hey, this printer's not working right. And he says, hey, let's go over there. So we go over to the other building, and we go in, and this thing's not working. The very first thing he did was grab a screwdriver and started adjusting. Something he had never seen before, something he had no clue how it was supposed to work. Guess what? He broke it. When we start adjusting things without knowing what the specs are, we're only going to cause problems. But if we will take the time to see what the specs are, if we will take time to understand how we ought to look, then God gets the glory because it's His plan in the first place. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, that You are the one who designed us, who knit us together in our mother's womb, who knows everything about us, and who's called us out of darkness into Your marvelous light, who has called us to walk in Your ways, called us to do the things that You would have us to do, called us, Lord, to be examples to the people around us. And You do give us Your Word, which is that technical manual displaying how we ought to live, what we ought to do, what our life ought to look like. And recognizing, Lord, that as we do it in our own strength, we fall short every time. But in Your strength and in Your grace and in Your mercy and being led by Your Spirit, we show up as trophies of Your grace. We show up as ambassadors of heaven. We show up as faithful witnesses to who You are. So we thank You, Father. And thank You, Lord, for the encouragement, Lord, to know what it is we're looking at in our lives as we inspect our lives, Father, to know what it is that needs to be changed, know what it is that needs to be submitted, know what it is that needs to be laid down at Your feet. We thank You for it, Father, and we give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord.